good morning. It's always a good morning because you make a choice. Make the choice. The choice is I can choose to see this as a rotten day, a terrible day, or I choose to make it a happy day, a peaceful day, a day where I feel that I'm empowered. I'm empowered to change my environment. Wow. That's what our topic is about today, self-empowerment. That's right, self-empowerment. We thank Nazim Rashid for that great music to open our show this morning. This is your dear Professor Apple White, and I am here this morning and very, very blessed, very happy to be here. Lots of love and kudos go out to the people helping and praying for those in Norway right now who are having their own 9/11 day, 9/11 grief period after a gunman goes in and kills many, many young people and random acts of violence. And we certainly have enough of that going on all over the world now, don't we? So we want to also send out prayers and thanks to, first off, all my fellow veterans. I'm a veteran myself, U.S. Army. And then a special, special thanks to those on active duty right now and those on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places around the world. So we open our show this morning with self-empowerment, and it kind of like blends in with saying thanks and giving our prayers and our thoughts to people, because that means that we're in some way feeling empowered to do that. And so what do you mean when you say I'm empowered to do that? I'm strong enough. I'm aware that I have strength. I'm confident. Is that what that means? Because, you know, you can be motivated and you can do all kinds of things with your life. And when you become self-empowered, something happens, though. When you reach that stage, it's not like it's all about you anymore, all about me. When we're self-empowered, we really understand that this power that we have, which is all energy, by the way, but this power that we have, we were determined to use it in a way that we could succeed in life, whatever we deem as successful. Now, I hope you get that now, because we're really saying that if you are already self-empowered, you are not just thinking about yourself. Your ego begins to slide away because you understand that self-empowerment means that you've reached a level in your life where you are not only empowered yourself, but you have the ability to empower others. Now, wow, that's a tremendous amount of responsibility for one person to take on, to feel that sense of self-empowerment. This morning, I want to take some time and focus little by little on some self-empowerment ideas that came across from Nelson Mandela's speech, his inaugural speech as the president of South Africa. And our dear Nelson Mandela just turned 93 this past week, so happy birthday to Nelson Mandela. And in addition to that, we want to give credit to the words he spoke at his inaugural speech. Goes to Marianne Williamson. What he did is he really loved her statement and about life, and so he used that in his speech. And it starts off with something very, very unique. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Powerful. Now, see, there's that word powerful again. So now we go back to self-empowerment. So now let's try to bring both of them together so that we get a better understanding of what self-empowerment is. We asked this week, is it possible for someone else to empower you. Okay, now we're going to get into a general agreed upon definition of empowerment in just a moment. But I want you to keep that in your mind right now. Is it possible for someone else to empower you? And think about the concept of self-empowerment. Okay, now another question. Do you feel, is it possible for someone to motivate you to do something you do not want to do? Now, you might say, yes, I've changed. I've done things for other people that I didn't really want to do, but I did it because, you know, that's what they wanted me to do. Well, there's another part to that, too. The human being, and I am talking to all human beings out there, almost 20,000 of you that have one at one time or another come on and off the show, and we really appreciate that. But I'm talking to you right now. Can anyone truly motivate you to make a change happen in your life? Are you going to do something you don't want to do? No, there's still a choice you're making. Okay, somebody wants you to do something like stop smoking or stop eating fried foods or to get up more and get more involved in life. Okay, whatever the thing is that somebody wants you to do. Okay, and obviously you haven't done it, so that's why they're asking you. Now, they're feeling that they're going to motivate you or, here we go with that word again, self-empower you. Okay, how could that happen? But anyway, so you're waiting for that, but you still have a choice. And you weigh the consequences out. You say, okay, I don't really want to do that, but it will make her or him happy. And I like them to be happy. So you see, even though you made the choice based on their needs and their wants, okay, you still had a choice in the matter of saying, I don't care whether they feel better, okay? I'm going to do what I want to do. And then you switch that around and said, I'm going to go ahead and do what they want me to do or change. Because it's going to make them feel better, and then and in turn, that makes me feel better. See, there's always an individual payoff. The individual always gets paid off. You, as a human being, are always in a state of reward somewhere. That's what you want. Your mind is in a state of reward. Everything that you do, you want to be rewarded for. And you might say, no, I don't. I help out in the community, and I do this for other people, and I do that. Okay, well, you're empowered to do that, self-empowered to do that, to go beyond yourself and help others. And I agree with that. That's a wonderful thing. And kudos to you, applause to you, to all of us who reach out and do things without asking for the monetary reward. Oh, check that out. The monetary reward. But there's another reward. And that reward is a very spiritual reward. And cognitive, it's mental too. But more spiritual. I guarantee you that the reason why you do what you do is because it makes you feel good. That's right. It makes you feel good. So even though it's not a monetary reward, I bet you if we were to weigh the amount of energy it takes for you to feel good about yourself and a dollar bill, it would probably take almost $1 million of bills to put on a scale to even come close to the energy that you would put out by helping and loving others. Okay? So it really is a tremendous payoff. It feeds into what I call the spiritual bank account. So as we have a physical monetary-based account at the bank, we also have a spiritual account. And who you have monitoring that with you is your choice, your God, by whatever name you call. But that spiritual bank account is real important when you feel the sense of self-empowerment. Because that is the time, my friends, when you feel self-empowered, that is the time, again, where not only do you know what it means to have the knowledge and the wisdom to do things, okay, to use that motivational skill that you already have. You see, you've already got it. You wouldn't be reaching that sense of empowerment if you didn't already have some growth. See, empowerment is according to some of the researchers out there, Blanchard, Ken Blanchard is one of them. He's a motivational speaker. He says, empowerment is not giving people power. People already have plenty of power in the wealth of their knowledge and motivation to do their jobs magnificently. Now, here's the key. Here's the kicker. We define empowerment as letting this power out, you see. Letting the power out. So we have the power. The power is inside of us. But do we let it out? So, yes, when you become self-empowered, you already have gained some skills. You've gained some knowledge. And you can roll up your sleeves and overcome the barriers that face you in your personal life and your professional or work life. And then you feel that that's going to help you succeed in your personal life and in society as a whole. And when I speak of society as a whole, I'm not just talking about the United States, the society of the United States. I'm talking about the society of the world that you begin to start fitting in because you're so self-empowered, which means you have not only this access, if you will, to all the skills and experiences that you've had, but you also have now, as you're self-empowered, the ability to be strong and share it with others. See, that's deep. Okay? Many people, you know how there's so many people that just paint, and they never want to show their paintings to anybody. Sometimes they do when they're finished. But other than that, they kind of hide them in a corner, and nobody really looks at them because they don't think that they're going to be looked at in the way that's going to be encouraging, okay? So they put it away. Same thing with books. Do you know how many people that I can talk to in a day that will tell me they're either thinking about writing a book or that they've already written a large part of their book and are looking for a publisher? How many years now, I'd say? And they'd say, oh, I started back about 20 years ago. Okay? They have e-books now, my friends. If you really want to write a book about what you're doing, they have e-books now. Now, making money and all of that stuff as a result of selling a book, that's a whole different story. But you can publish your book right now. If you have a song that you want to sing, you can make a CD right now. You can empower yourself. And when you empower yourself, you will automatically empower other people. You'll make decisions about things that you never would have made without being self-empowered and being able to look at the world and be part of a collective thought process that says, we like people who are self-empowered. That's how we grow. That's how the United States becomes a great country, or Britain or China or any of those countries, is for the fact that there are people that are self-empowered. They realize that they have the power, okay? They do their jobs well, but now they're willing to let that power out, as Ken Blanchard talks about. They're ready to let it go and let it produce and let it develop and create beautiful things in your life. And you can do it. You can get that bug, if you will, that satisfaction of self-empowerment. You want it. You know, I always feel, too, that the more I'm self-empowered, I guess I'm more in contact with my spiritual side. Because here I am, I'm doing the best I can as a human being. I've got my flaws just like everyone else. That doesn't qualify my flaws. Okay, I think that we do that too much, at the, you know, because everyone else has flaws, that means that it's okay to have flaws. No, it's not. We should be working on them. Especially if one of the flaws is my lack of self-empowerment. And before that, even my lack of motivation. If I'm dealing with those issues, then I need to make some changes in my life. Because I've got to feel motivated. Let's go back to the basis of power, okay, and empowerment. Because the foundation of it deals with your motivation to do things, okay? When you look at a baby, the minute they are born, and even before that, but let's just talk about the minute they're born, okay? They begin to see the benefits of motivation. They're motivated to cry. That's the first thing. They're motivated to cry. And when they're motivated to cry, that is showing you that they know how to say, I'm hungry. I'm hungry, I'm wet, I need something, okay? And so that's an important thing. We have some callers online right now. We want to take them in. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. There's a caller here. Let's see if we have that caller online. Okay, you are live on air. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning,
okay.
Professor Applewhite.
Oh, there you are. Oh, okay. Good morning. Good morning. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling
okay,
good.
Okay, where are you calling in from? What's going on in wherever you are?
This is Kim. I'm calling from San Francisco.
San Francisco. One of our board members, Kim. Thank you very much for calling in this morning. How's the weather there?
It's actually awesome today.
Oh, really? Well,
a while, but
yeah.
It's pretty good today.
Not like most of the country out there, because a lot of people, in New Jersey even, the temperature of 106 is unheard of. I was stationed at Fort Dix, New Jersey, and I never, ever remember anything in triple digits, maybe 100 at that. But
well,
106.
I hope you're motivated to get some water.
That's right. Motivated and self-empowered. Become self-empowered to get that water and also to share it with someone else, because that's the key to self-empowerment. I thank you so much for calling in and being part of our discussion this morning on self-empowerment. And we have another caller online. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. This is your Apple. How are you?
Good morning. This is Professor Consuelo Astete.
Oh, yes, Professor. How are you doing?
Wonderful. It's so beautiful
always
to be in your
show
again.
Yes. Well, we appreciate you always tuning in. We appreciate your loyalty. We're talking about self-empowerment today. And
wonderful.
Is it possible for someone to empower you or motivate you to do something you don't want to do? And it's impossible, because you're only going to do what you choose to do. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to understand, because they feel that they're stuck in doing things that other people want them to do all the time. But actually, we do make a choice. We make a choice to say, I'm going to help this person. I'm going to give them, loan them some money or give them something. Okay? And the reason why we do that is because in some way it makes us feel better. So there is always a payoff. So when people say, oh, I didn't expect anything back, you don't have to do anything for me. No, they're not looking necessarily for anybody to pay them for helping them, especially helping them to be empowered, okay? But the bottom line is we do feel good, and that's a reward. The human being is always seeking reward. And we were talking about a moment ago before we started exchanging ideas together is that we're starting with the beginning of self-empowerment. The beginning, before you get to power and even know what power is, there's motivation. And I was talking about a baby. When the baby is first born, the motivation that they exhibit at the very beginning of their life is crying and crying because they want to be changed and fed. They are motivated. Tell me that they're not motivated.
You're right.
Okay, all right. They're not giving up, okay? Hold on, we have another caller online. Professor Applewhite here. Good morning. Do we have another loyal listener here online this morning?
Yeah, this is Maria.
Good morning, Maria. Always good to hear from you. And we have some people in chat this morning. Good morning for all those in chat this morning and that are typing away at what they feel. The question is on the chat right now, how are you self-empowered? So we want to hear some stories about how people have self-empowered, okay, themselves, because that's the key, is that when we talk about empowerment, everybody thinks, I don't know if you guys heard earlier, I was quoting Ken Blanchard, that empowerment is not giving people power. It's not about you giving people power. You can't give, especially when you talk about self-empowerment. People already have power. If they have knowledge and they have motivation, they already have power. But sometimes when we talk about empowerment, self-empowerment, that's about having this power and letting it out to help others. Okay? Now, that's taking it a step further. So you're motivated to go to school. Okay? You're motivated to get fed, just like that baby we talked about. You're motivated to get changed, okay, or change your clothes. Okay? We've got all these basic things that we're motivated to do. But are we empowered? No. We're not empowered yet. Empowered is understanding what we read earlier in the show. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. This is from Nelson Mandela's speech, from Marianne Williamson's words. They talk about, just hang on, and I want you to gather your thoughts as I'm reading this to you, that it is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Who am I? Actually, who are you not to be brilliant, gorgeous, and talented? You are a child of God. You're playing small. Does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You know, like they say, dumbing up, all right? You don't have to dumb up so other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us, by whatever name you guys call God. It is not just in some of us. It is in everyone. And as we let this part, as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated, Professor Stete, from our own fear, our presence, just our presence around other people, automatically liberates them. True. Automatically, when you let your light shine, Kim, other people unconsciously want to shine that light. That is truly self-empowerment.
Yes, it is. Yes. Absolutely.
So you start with motivation. You start with knowing what you need. And you understand that you are empowered to make decisions now. Self-empowered. You start making decisions about how you're going to cry, how you're going to ask for things, how you're going to demand respect. And it's never ending. It's a growth process for you. You're not just self-empowered one day and not the next. You recognize, I'm self-empowered now. I'm a self-empowered individual, just like you recognize I'm an adult now. You can't go backwards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Overcome stigmas. you're going to be so empowered. When you really understand self-empowerment, you'll be able to look at your self-image and feel so positive about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll look at all these things, these dramas that people are going through for trivial things. I had someone that said that their life was falling apart yesterday because their tire blew out. And I said, did you realize that over 90-something people, especially young people, were just shot to death in Norway? Whether it's Norway or Broadway in the United States, it doesn't matter. People died yesterday. And we feel the need to talk about a tire burned out. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't talk about that, but when you get self-empowered, my dear friends, you open up where everybody's in the same boat. Again, Ken Blanchard says, we define empowerment as letting this power out. I'll take some comments now. We have a chat coming through right now that says, I don't understand self-empowerment, but I understand motivation. Okay? So, and that's a good question, guest 16, I don't have your name on here, but it's so important that you do understand motivation first anyway. Because you have to be self-motivated to move into self-empowerment. So if you understand motivation, give it a chance to work for you first. And then move out into being self-empowered, which means that, and a lot of people call it different names. Let's say, you know, it's kind of like being a priest or a judge or something, that you move up a certain level in life. And then you understand that when you get to this certain level, not where you're better than anyone else or more smarter or whatever like that, it's just a level of saying, I understand what this is all about now. Not everything about it, but this whole life thing, is that it's not just about me being self-empowered. It's that when I am self-empowered, when I understand motivation, now I can reach back and give the torch to someone else. Kim, you're an athlete. Is that right?
Yes,
I'm going to call you, even though it was some time ago. I mean, you played professional basketball pretty much in different places all over the world.
Yes, I did.
Okay. I mean, now you're an administrator of several group homes in San Francisco, and you're on the board for White Apple Institute. But, I mean, you understand that when you are playing, when you're an athlete, you have got to pass that ball to somebody else. It's a team effort.
Yes, it's extremely a team effort, and that's what we exemplify when we work with the special needs clients we have. Because one of the things we talk a lot about is motivation, because they're not as motivated. Sometimes people are not motivated to get up and take their meds or even motivated to eat, depending on what their illness may be. So I really enjoy the show today because it's really about what we do. We motivate every hour. We motivate every minute. We motivate every day. Just so that this person can have a quality of life.
You know, when you talk about motivation, because like I said, we've got to look at motivation as the beginning of feeling self-empowered. That you cannot get to, it's not self-empowerment first and then motivation. It's motivation first, okay? So when we understand that, and you talk about your clientele being motivated to take their meds and being motivated to do other things, well, the human being is always motivated to do something that's a reward situation. So people have to know that taking their medication is going to be a reward, okay? You see, it has to make them either feel better or see things better in order for them to continue to take it. I run into that many times with students, and I don't know if you do that same thing, Professor Sete, okay, or if Maria, you know anything about that. But that people sometimes will say that they'll do something, and they'll tell you that so that you can shut up, so that you won't talk about it anymore. And they really don't follow through. And the bottom line in all of that is that they are not truly motivated to do it, but because they don't believe that it's going to be a benefit. So if we are self-empowered, if we've gone beyond, we understand motivation, we can talk to somebody about it. That means that we're self-empowered enough to be confident that we're telling somebody something good for them because we've already felt that and we want to share that. Man, this feels good to take these meds. It feels good to do this. It feels good to get up out of bed in the morning. It feels good to socialize with other people and grow. But if we don't have that enthusiasm, if we don't share that with other people, then they're not going to do it. My students do not like, many of them do not like to take medication, especially for bipolar, they call it bipolar disorder, or affective schizophrenia. I can go on and on with different diagnoses. But they do not like to take the medication because they said that it bothers them sexually. It doesn't allow them to respond to a partner. And so they stop taking it because of that. And also, and of course, some instances, it really doesn't do any good. And at that point is when people need to call the doctor, even if you have diabetes. You need to call the doctor and find out, okay, well, this medication is not working. This amount of insulin is not working for me. That's another phase of self-empowerment. Or to tell you, your clientele should tell you, hey, there's something wrong with this. I'm not getting anything from this medication, and that's why I don't want to take it. But you know, and I know, that most of them are getting some benefit from it. And we have got to motivate them by showing them the benefit. Motivation in itself is not only it's about setting goals and acting on them. Okay, it's about understanding the discomfort if you don't do something. Okay, if you don't keep your word, if you don't get up and get going for a day and just go to the mall or be a part of something. Okay. Changing your mind, changing things in your life, your environment. If you want to help someone to stay motivated, sweeten it up a little bit. Sweeten it up, okay? You know, and sweeten them up. You know, move them into a place where, you know, sometimes looking at the same room that you do something in, okay, can draw you down. So take them in a different place and give them their medication or their treatment, whatever it is that you need to do. Or for yourself, get up. If there's something that you don't want to do, like exercise, that's a common thing that I hear a lot. You know, I hate to exercise. Where do you exercise at, I ask? In my bedroom, I have my treadmill in there. And I say to them, move your treadmill out into the living room. Open up the curtains, whatever you do. Change the environment and sweeten it up a little bit. Don't talk about how bad it is to do it. Talk about how good it is to do it. Okay? Know that motivation is like a luxury. Okay? It's like a luxury to do something and you don't really feel like doing it, but you somehow get that motivation up to do it. Look, go back to that baby again. That baby's tired. I've seen it happen with my 5 grandsons. They'll be at the point where they can't even lift their heads up, okay? They can't even lift their heads. They're so tired. And they'll still, if you show them something that they want, watch them wake up and try their best to get it. Mm-hmm. Okay? Am I right or wrong, Consuelo?
Yes. So we
okay?
Do, we
they
do
will
work,
wake up.
We yeah. function by rewards. Definitely.
you know, a little boy, my son, he could be laying down, sleeping, almost asleep, and hear his Hot Wheel car, okay, on the floor, if I just, you know, I'm picking it up or whatever, and immediately wake up, okay, to play with those Hot Wheels. Because he likes it. And it goes back to that point. You're motivated to do things because you like to do things. You're rewarded. Start telling your clients, start telling your students, especially those that come in wearing the label of disabled. Okay, get that one. I can't do it because I'm disabled. I can't do it because I have a learning disability. I can't do it because I have diabetes. I can't do it. Oh, my goodness. Stop. Stop. Let's sweeten this up a little bit. Let's talk about what you can do. Let's talk about the good aspects of your life. Let's talk about motivating yourself. But my friends, please know, these are great suggestions that we can come up with. But we've got to do them ourselves first. Okay? We can't motivate someone to look at a different perspective. We can't talk about it. And you can't ever motivate somebody. Like I said before, they do it. They're self-motivated. They do it because they want to do it. But you can't even suggest something if you yourself have not done it. How can you talk about something you haven't done? Even loving yourself. Hello?
All right. That makes much sense. I have to say that.
Okay? You're going to tell somebody else how to love themselves, Kim, how to be motivated, and you're sitting up there on the job, okay? You don't love yourself, and you're not motivated. I mean, your motivation is so low to even come to work that you're dragging your feet, okay, to come to work, and your attitude is so bad, so negative, that everyone around you, clients and coworkers, if you're in school, other students around you, feel bad when you're around. You bring down their motivation. You're nowhere near self-empowerment at that point. We want to encourage you to move towards self-empowerment. You cannot make a change happen in any other person with success, with long-term success, unless you make the change in yourself first. Isn't that why we're saying self-empowerment?
Yes.
How can someone else motivate you to be self-empowered? Doesn't make sense, does it, Professor Sveti?
Of course not.
Why?
Let's go back, Professor Apple, to the light that is within us, and that's where we have to find and allow to come out, and that's going to be the source of our motivation too.
Yes.
The source of our motivation can be that light. Let's see. He says, or Marion Williamson writes, and Nelson Mandela says, that it is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously and consciously, those that are self-empowered especially, give other people permission to do the same. And so when those other people to do the same can be our clients, can be our students, can be our husbands, our wives, our children. But first, we have to recognize, come on, it's in all of us. You're not so special, as we talked about in the last couple of weeks, so special that you're the only one who has the light. It is in everyone. The only thing you're doing is not dumbing up. Remember we talked about dumbing up, okay? That who are you to feel that because you're a child of God, and if you recognize that you're playing small does not serve the world, and that you start shrinking, you know what I mean, Maria, shrinking? You start, you put your head down and you don't want other people to know how smart you are or how motivated you are. Or that you're going to school and you're doing things with your life. Because if you do, then they'll start, feeling insecure around you. You don't want to make them feel bad because they're not doing it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You say, oh, that's okay. They say, well, what are you doing in your life? And you say, oh, nothing. Well, nothing. And you know, in the back of your mind, you really want to say, well, I'm going to school, or I'm going to start school in fall, and I'm going to be a bookkeeper or a journalist. You don't want to say that around it, because you want to shrink down and say, oh, nothing. When you ask somebody to help, if you want the help, their help in doing a resume, I said, what are your achievements? Oh, nothing. I won an award once. Oh, it's no big deal. It was on attendance. Attendance, that's wonderful. But they say, oh, no, that wasn't anything. Not willing to even accept the achievements that you've made in your own life. How can you encourage someone to look at theirs? We have to get to be beyond the motivation if we want to. Again, we got to want to do it. So if you want to be self-empowered, understand you've got to conquer the motivation part. And you've got to be willing now to share with other people, your family, not only by just telling them you need to do this, you need to do that, but sweetening it up and showing them you can do it. Here, let me show you. I did this. You can do it too. My light's shining. Can I help you so your light will shine too? That makes sense? Am I with you on the same wavelength, Professor Astete?
Yes. And of course,
thank you for. Go ahead.
The thing that you share with us, and that we, it's sort of contagious. Also, is this love for people and for helping, and so that is what is going to come through when you motivate someone else. It's not going to make the other person think that it's competing, or, you know, that competition, I am better than you or you're better than me, but just the love, the pure interest of just seeing someone else happier. And
mm-hmm.
I think that is something that can be grasped by the people we want to help. And so that is also, you know, what we can absorb from your teachings, the love.
Mm.
Now, how do you get to that point to get, you know, it's also within us, but we don't know it. A lot of people don't know that they have all the love in the world inside of them.
Good point. Yes, we do. Wow, that's a wonderful point. You know, whenever you talk about love, that's, oh, wow. That excites me, you know. You know, take that the right way now. Understand, I'm not talking about romantic love, and I'm not talking about sexual love. I'm talking about that agape, beautiful, universal love, okay, that's within all of us. Next
can I
week,
make a comment,
we,
Apple?
Go ahead. Oh, please.
I love, was that Consuelo who was just talking just now? I like what she said about love, because one of the things that drew me into working and continuously doing my work with special needs clients is that they show a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. Despite their disabilities,
mm-hmm.
despite what might be wrong, at the end of the day, if you're showing them some respect and treating them with dignity, they give you a lot
mm-hmm.
of love, a lot more than what society offers sometimes.
Mm.
So that's why I enjoy my work so much.
And it's honest.
And yes, and we have these clients all around the world. We have our special needs people who are people. But one of
mm-hmm.
the things that they want is love. And if they don't get that love, there's a lot of things that come from that. A lot of behaviors, a lot of various things that go on in their lives because they're not receiving the right type of love, which is the agape
mm-hmm.
love you just described.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow, that is, really, that's kind of tearing me up a little bit, because I'm thinking about all of the people in the world that need to hear this message from us. Not from me, but from all of us. That no matter where you are, I mean, you don't have to be in America to be self-empowered. And I think that's a misconception that many people have around the world, that the only place that they can really feel this sense of motivation, the sense of self-empowerment, is to be in a different country. And granted, sometimes you do have to change your environment, as we talked about earlier. But the inside stuff, my friends, is about love. We mentioned it earlier. We talked about the fact that if you don't love yourself first, how can you love anybody else? Well, if you're not self-empowered, first motivated, self-motivated, and then self-empowered, you cannot anywhere come near a person and start talking about how they should do it. Because the greatest way that we learn things, and check this out, is through the motivation of seeing other people do it. Okay? The motivation to see other people doing it. If my mom is smoking, there's more of a chance that I'm going to smoke as I've grown up with her, because I've watched her and observed her. Doesn't mean I'm going to. But it gives me more of a chance to follow that example. Now, if she doesn't smoke, the same thing happens. Is that there's a 50-50 chance that I won't follow that example, that observation. But that goes also for those of us that work with students, with work with people who have mental health issues. They need to have a model. And I encourage you, all of you out there, to shine your light. Gather that confidence together to shine your light. Know that when you talk about self-empowerment, and you might want to write this down. I know a lot of people like to write down things when I'm when we're talking on the show.
I do.
But that, and you can go into, you can Google empowerment and pick up these words from the Wikipedia encyclopedia. But it says that empowerment refers to increasing the spiritual, and I really appreciate that that's put first. The spiritual, the political, the social or economic strength. It says of individuals and communities, but I'm going to say of you and of me. It means developing confidence in our growth as a spiritual person. Understanding our political viewpoints are not always the right ones. That there are other people that believe other things. And respecting that. We can indeed empower each other towards changing the world. And a lot of people have given up on that. They don't even want to talk about that. Saving the world, oh, the world's gone. There's no hope. There's no hope. Look at our political system. Look at the Republicans walking out on the president and not talking about the debts. Oh, come on. We're done for. Well, gosh, sweeten it up a little bit. If anything you remember from this show this week will be that word, sweeten it up. And look outside the box. And wake up and be motivated like that little baby that you were before, that when you wanted something, you were motivated to get it. You know what motivation is. It's internal. It's inside of you. No one knows what that motivation feels like, and no one knows what you're motivated to do but you. You're the one. somehow, if we really look from a very, very spiritual standpoint and saying, some people believe that they were motivated to come here to Earth, to go through the birth canal and to come here, motivated to do great things in this life, to play the piano before they were even 12 years old, to get an award for good attendance when you were in the third grade. These are good things in your life. Don't throw them away. Anything that you've done that says good job, hold on to them. Let your light shine. And consciously and unconsciously, you will empower others to look at their own way of self-empowering. How about that one?
Mm-hmm.
Good one. Maria, you have anything to say? You just jump in anytime if you want.
I would have to say that one thing that I the motivation. We all need a push. We all need good friends, good people that will encourage us in our lives. And I have a great friend. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's the one that motivates my life more than anybody else. I do have friends, and Ms. Apple, you are one of them that helps me, that gives me good encouragement. But above all, the one that gives me my all is Jesus Christ, that empowers me to go on, to continue in this life, to motivate myself more and more every day.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Because that goes back to what we were saying a little while ago.
The light.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
The
go
light.
Go ahead, please.
Because Jesus Christ is the perfect model.
Yes.
One of the, maybe not the only one, but it's one of the models the light and truth and beautiful things that motivate humankind.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And if you
and
find
we're talking
it,
about models.
Mm-hmm. That's right, models. And Jesus Christ was the best model. And I have to agree with you that when you believe that, truly believe that in your life, that whatever it is, some people are only motivated by looking outside of themselves, okay? And we'll have to just accept that for the time being. But more, even more so, is the motivation that we find inside and that relationship that we have with God, by whatever name we call God, because eventually all of us will know what it is. I truly believe that, okay? So whether you say Allah, whether you say Jehovah, whatever you say the name of God is for you right now, then I respect that. But I also say to you that look outside the box, sweeten it up a little bit, and look objectively at your world and understand that just because everybody doesn't call God the same name as you do, that still doesn't mean that you can't follow great examples in this life of love, of true enlightenment, of true self-empowerment. Of Jesus Christ, just take him for an example. Jesus Christ was definitely self-empowered. He understood motivation to do things.
Exactly.
He understood letting go of his life as a carpenter, which was a very, very beautiful life. But he felt that he came here for another reason. And that is to empower, to show other people what kind of empowerment is out there. And that if you look inside of yourself, you can do the same things that I do. He said that.
Yes.
Did he not, Maria?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
He said, as a matter of fact, he said, you can do things greater than I can if you just look inside of yourself.
Yes,
and that's why it's so important for us not to take self out of self-empowerment. Was there something else you wanted to say, dear?
The kingdom of heaven is within you. That's what he said.
Yes. Wow. And we cannot help. I mean, look, our friends, if you're tuning in out there and you're saying, well, wait a minute, is this turning into a religious show? I thought this was about disability issues. I thought this was... No, this show, today, the episode is self-empowerment, but this show is about being a student and a teacher. This show is about whatever you have learned in this life and received as a student, then you become a teacher whenever you reach out and share it with somebody else.
Right.
That you don't wear the label of disabled. That you don't let your disability or your mental health issue define who you are. That you are, and you believe you are, a child of God. And as we said earlier, that that light that Consuelo Astete, Professor Astete, keeps going back to, that light is in everyone. Everyone has it. We have 2 minutes left on the show right now. And I wanted to close with saying that don't be fearful. Don't be fearful about reaching out. Try to let that deepest fear resolve itself. Trust and be confident in God that you can overcome your deepest fear. And the deepest fear we talked about this morning was our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. There's that word, powerful, goes back to self-empowerment, my friends. Any other closing remarks?
Well, I just want to say, Apple, I really appreciate you and I really appreciate the show and all the listeners who are following the show, and I hope that you continue to do so because there's much to learn, and once you do learn it, make sure you pass the information on.
Wow. Thank you so much. We will see all of you, hopefully see you virtually and feel you virtually as we come back next Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on the Student to Teacher Show on Internet Radio Blog, talkradio.com. And this is Professor Applewhite signing out. Love and peace. Thank you, Nazim Rashid, for this great music.
Thank you. Thank
you. And get his album on Amazon.
Thank you.
Thank you for all of you in chat. Your chat messages are being responded to.